Good morning, and let's take our Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're starting a new series this morning on the fruit of the Spirit and what our new life in Jesus looks like. As you're turning to Galatians chapter 5, I'd like to take the opportunity to wish a happy Mother's Day to our mothers. And I know that in the past, we live in a world that has greatly changed and how different times are today. And that we say Happy Mother's Day and do mean it really does carry a lot of notoriety to say Happy Mother's Day. Because I remember not too long ago having a conversation with Melina's mother, my mother-in-law, and I asked her, because I knew from my upbringing how it worked out, and I was just curious if it was the same way. I asked Linda, I said, please forgive me, Linda, for bringing up your name in the service, but it's important to this introduction. I said, so on Mother's Day, who cooked the meal when your children were young? And she looked at me and said, who do you think? So today, Mother's Day has a new gravitas behind it because it means something different than it did all those years ago when you were taking care of your little ones. It was a conversation that I had this week with Miss Carmen that made me realize something, that it is the one day of the year that mothers should be babied. And I've got an asterisk by that. And I really need to put another asterisk by the one day of the year, the word year, or the day. I need to put that down too, put an asterisk there. Because I realize Mother's Day, when we're thinking about the job that mothers do, they don't really get the whole day. It's really more like an hour. Of the 8,760 hours in the year, mothers are working 8,759 hours of the year. That 1 hour that you might have as a special meal, just thinking about it. And I think about what Miss Carmen Boone said to me this morning. It was, she didn't say it to me this morning, but I was thinking about it this morning about the job that mothers do and what mothers do and the problems that they create in the world. She said this, every mother starts something that every wife has to keep up. Yes, mothers start out babying their sons, and wives are expected to keep it up. Ladies, can I get an amen if that's appropriate this morning? Yeah. You know, I heard her say that, and I chuckled, because it is true. Mothers start out babying their children, and then whenever the children grow up, and it's expected that that continues on. And do we ever really grow up? Do we really ever outgrow our mothers? I think not. But I want to tell you, when it comes to that I said a few moments ago, mothers should be babied. I realize it doesn't happen, that mothers don't get that break. This week, my wife said something to me that made me question. When I started making the connections between what Miss Carmen said and what my wife said to me, she said, oh, baby. And I couldn't help but think, is she speaking to me as a wife? Someone who's got affectionate feelings for me? Oh, baby. Or is she speaking to me like a mother? Oh, baby. Poor thing. Melina, thank you for keeping up what my mother started. And thank you, mothers, for all of the hard work that you do each and every year. We certainly do appreciate your contributions to making our life just that much easier. It's because mothers offer a personal example of what self-sacrificing love looks like, that the overlap with where we're at in the first of our series in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at the fruits of the Spirit. And it is with this backdrop of Mother's Day that we start off with the fruit of love. I'd like you to read with me in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, as we look at this list. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. When we think about what it means to have these fruits of the Spirit at work in our life, it is what happens when Jesus comes into our heart. We get a new heart. We don't do the things that we used to do. We don't have to do the things that we used to do because Jesus has really transformed our outlook. He changes our lives to the very core of our hearts. And likewise, our life should now have a new pattern that we follow. We lead a changed life, transformed by the power of Jesus and the life that you and I live as believers. We have a pattern established for us in the Scriptures as to how we should live. It is when Jesus is on the inside, my life looks like Jesus, or at least it should. And that new life that you and I lead and live should really be explored. And it's something that is not optional for us to think, well, today I don't feel like being a follower of Jesus. That's not what following Jesus looks like at all. Rather, it's that excitement to hit the ground running each and every day. So I hope that in the course of these next few weeks, as we look at the fruits of the Spirit, as we begin to tap into what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives to give us a fresh desire to serve the Lord with the fruits of the Spirit, the full complement. Brother Ernie Boone talked to me several years ago about one of his favorite passages of Scriptures. It was talking about, he said, you know, the church is full of fruits. And I couldn't help but think, are you talking about people? And he said, no, I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And we're all to be showing forth these fruits. Today our point is this. Loving like Jesus comes through sacrifice. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we start this series off by asking Jesus to speak to our hearts this morning? Lord Jesus, we come to you and we lift up your name. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the example that you give to us through our mothers, who show us a picture of what self-sacrificing love looks like. The tireless job that our mothers do, sacrificing their time because their heart is towards her family and to her children. And Lord, for all of the examples that we have represented in here this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit would warm our hearts as we think back fondly on the example that our mother was to us, and as a child, how grateful we are for what she taught us about you through her type of love that she had for us. And Lord, I pray today that as we look at this first fruit of the Spirit, love, that you would rewire our hearts to love like you love, to love what you love. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. We ask these things in your name. Amen. This morning, as we start off, I'd like to talk about the word love, because I realize that it is a hard word to define, that the word love has so many different modern connotations and so many modern expressions of love that it's hard to fix it down when you're talking about the kind of love. Much like a moment ago when I noticed the nuance in the word, oh baby, I know that it could have gone one of two ways. Well, the problem that we have with the word love when we look at it in English is we realize it could come from a host of Greek words that the original Scriptures were written in. The Scriptures were originally written, I should say. And it is the first type of love that we find in Scripture is something called philo, or it would be like a brotherly love, a friendship type of love. A love that you have for your friends is different than a love like you might have for a spouse or for your family. Not to say that you cannot love your friends to that capacity, but it generally speaks of a friendship, brotherly type of love. The other word, storge, is a love that would be displayed between parents and their children. We'll call that familial love. It is certainly, when you think about the relationship that you have with your friends versus your family, there's a special bond that you have with your family, those people that you call family. It's a little tighter. It's a little more intimate. It's not necessarily a different love, but it is, and it's not necessarily a deeper love in the capacity that you do not have a special affections for your friends like you have for your family. But I think you understand the connection when we talk about the love that we have for our friends and the love that we have for our families. We can keep those two straight. In the middle of the night, if someone called on you, if your friend called on you, I bet you would go there. But what would you do if your family calls you in an emergency? You probably put them on a higher priority list in that circumstance. There is another word that we find for love that is eros, which has to do with romantic love. It has to do really more with a physical type of love, that affectionate type of love. And so when we talk about the word love, it starts to take on which direction are you going with it? Your friendship, your family, your significant other. There's even another word that we have for love. Philosia, which means yourself, the love that you have for yourself. Now, I think as human beings, we have naturally tending love to love ourselves more than anybody. In a case of problems in the middle of the night, if you wake up sick and someone calls on you and you're incapacitated, I think your self-love might keep you down in the bed, or at least that's the way it would be for me. But I think mothers, you know that in the case when your child cries out in the night and you need help, you would go even if you were sick. Mothers just display that love that just really defies conventional wisdom. When I talk about love, are you seeing the distinctions here? We have family and we've got friends and we've got romantic love. We've got self-love. And then there's another word for love that has to do with hospitality or the love that we have for strangers. And I think in the South, we make a great connection with that. How that we really do believe that people need to be overfed and we want to be certainly hospitable to taking care of strangers. But when you put those words on a scale, there is a different order that you're going to come up with. Which love do you think has the highest expression in your life? And I wonder if just thinking about all of those terms, the love for the stranger, would that take a higher love priority than the love for your family, the love for your spouse over the love for your friends? This morning, the love that we are going to look at, before we even get there, but this last example, I want to talk about what bad love looks like. Because Paul writes about it in Galatians chapter 5, and he gives us really good examples of the bad kind of love. Wait a minute. There is bad kinds of love? Yes. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at them in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 19. Paul writes, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest," which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. So when we're talking about this word love, we realize the types of love that we have sometimes are expressed whether we are following the Lord or following our flesh. And Paul writes about how you and I should flee from the fleshly type of love that has no place in the life of a believer. And it's the great examples of the wrong kinds of love. And in verse 19, Paul defines adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Adultery is the love against God's design for marriage. It's unfaithfulness to your spouse. Fornication, we'll define that as all sexual love against God's design. God designed love and the physical expression of love. That's really what these words have more to deal with. It's not necessarily a base love for your friends misusing your friends. We're talking here about immoral sexual acts. And it has to do with corrupting God's design for love. You know, God designed the physical act of love to be expressed in the bounds of marriage between a husband and wife. And that's it. I think it's a very simple explanation. We say that we're talking about adultery when you break your marital vows. Fornication is when you're going against God's design. Uncleanness is the product of following lust or the lifestyle pattern that comes from seeking these base expressions. That's really what the word lust has to deal with. Your base natural desires and acting on it. And Paul says, flee adultery, fornication, and uncleanness. These unclean practices of living out your wicked desires and your wicked hearts to your wicked heart's content. Last type of love listed in this is lasciviousness. And it is just unbridled, base desires, just unchecked, running wild and running rampant. And I want to ask you this morning, from what Paul describes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, where do you think that the world would fit on the scale of following after the types of love that we were looking at, or how the world is so crazy? It's not led by the law of the Lord. It's not led by the Lord. It is through the expression of the flesh. And this world that we live in is so wrecked with sin that we look around and we say the word love today, and it has been so corrupted and twisted that even though we talk about the different types of love for your family or for your friends or for your relationships, your spouse, for yourself, for strangers, we see today that expression has been so twisted and so corrupted that what is celebrated today is love really is hurtful and really does show who it is that we serve and who it is that we follow. That's why the fruits of the Spirit, a life that is unleashed in Jesus Christ, is a life that is unleashed to live to the full potential that God has built and designed us for. That's why when we think and consider love being a fruit of the Spirit, it's because we now have a new heart, and that new heart is established for us. We see in the Scriptures new patterns of behavior that we should follow. And the way that you and I love is not to love the way the world loves, through base expressions, through self-gratification, but rather through seeking and learning to love like Jesus. So when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, and the first on this list is love, we see that the great challenge that we have in life, in this new life in Christ, is learning to love like Jesus. He didn't get it wrong. He shows us how we get it right and how we keep it right. It's learning to love like Him. When we were working through that list, remember the family, the friends, yourself, your significant other, the stranger, there was a word that I left off because I wanted to explore, because that's the actual word that's here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that Paul uses. And that's the word agape, which means self-sacrificing love. See the connection that we made to Mother's Day a few moments ago? How mothers are that example of self-sacrificing love. And you may have had a mother that did not follow Jesus, but her natural instinct was to her children, at least it should have been. And we see that motherly expression. We look at this world, even though it is wrecked and broken by sin, we can see some shadows of the beauty of redemption that are there. A world that is broken and that's crying out for deliverance, even though it doesn't even know that it's broken and doesn't even realize that it's crying out for deliverance. It's because it has become so deluded in following the base love following the fleshly love, that it misses the beauty of the love that Jesus shows and demonstrates for us as he sacrificed himself. The message of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We see how that Jesus went to the cross for your sins and for mine. He sacrificed himself. He took our place. He substituted himself in our place and took our sin upon him. And he suffered the wrath of God, and he experienced death. He was buried and placed in the tomb, but on the third day he rose again. You do not come away from the gospel without seeing the self-sacrificing love of Jesus. That's what Paul writes about in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mothers are a great example of self-sacrificing love, but there is no greater example than Jesus. And that's why when you and I have in our life his love, the love that only his Spirit can grow in our hearts through day-by-day surrender, we see this self-sacrificing type of love helps keep our love focus and in perspective. Here's how we know. I love like Jesus when I love like Jesus loves me. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. Jesus tells his disciples, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And the sacrifice that Jesus made on your behalf and my behalf shows us the capacity and the degree whereby which you and I should love. And we love like Jesus when we love Jesus like he loves me, us. It instills in us an awareness for the needs around us. When you and I begin to look outside of ourselves, start to see a broken, hurting world. I said a few moments ago, it's so deluded it doesn't even realize that it's broken. Doesn't even want the love of God or the affection, point that Paul makes. The problem and the weight of sin. But when you and I love like Jesus, we begin to have an awareness of the needs of those around us. And not just an awareness that we are aware to the problems that exist around us, and we also have a willingness to intervene, to help. And it's expressed through selflessness. Loving like Jesus, self-sacrificing love, means that you're aware of the problem, you're willing to help, and you're willing to pay whatever the price would require. Whew, that's a kind of a tough one to say that. Don't go that far. There's some limits. I love myself a little bit more than that, and I've got some dignity, and I'm not willing to do that, but Jesus didn't. He laid down his life for you and for me. And so I say the great example of self-love, selfless love, is loving like Jesus loves me. He was aware of our need. He was willing to sacrifice his love, his life for us, and he laid down his life selflessly. That's the model. That's the template. That's the way that you and I express our selfless love that we have in Christ for others. An awareness, willingness, selflessness. I love like Jesus when I love what Jesus loves. Do you know what Jesus loves? Jesus loves the world. But before we go there, let me explain to you when John sets us straight. Because we've just looked what Paul said about how we shouldn't live in the lusts of the world. John tells us in 1 John 2:15, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we want to be clear that I love like Jesus when I love what Jesus likes, and Jesus loves the world, and we're going to look here in just a moment. I want to understand that we're talking about, when we talk about the world, does Jesus love the rocks and the air that he created? Does he love this planet? Yes, he's the creator. But Jesus and his expression of love that John tells us that we should follow is not a love for the values of the world, the systems that are in place, the world that is wrecked by sin. Because if you and I start to think about how that works and how that plays out, if Jesus laid down his life for the world, and he loves the world, and then John tells us don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world, how in the world do we reconcile that? Clearly, when we love like Jesus and we love what Jesus loves, we love people because that's what matters. Our relationships and the connections that we have to people while you and I are here on this planet. Yes, I do love future generations, and I do love past generations, but my greatest capacity to love is expressed right here, right now, among the people that my life touches. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you and I love what Jesus loves, we've got an opportunity to show the love of Christ to the world by God's design. We can show a pure and holy love like our Savior showed us. And it's not informed by the world's values. It's not using the world's tricks and the world's tactics. It's using the heart of Jesus to engage our communities and our culture. And not changing and not shifting and saying, well, that's out of fashion. It was fashionable 50 years ago to serve the Lord this way, but it's no longer that way. And I say to you this morning that the love of God, when we're talking about self-sacrificing love, hasn't changed since the cross. And the example that we have as believers, to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but loving the people of the world. We hate sin. Jesus loved the sinner, and he loved me when I was a sinner, and he laid down his life, and I thank him today. The example that he showed me of that, what I am to love people. When we talk about that group of people, sometimes we get off base in our scope and our outlook. If I'm going to have this self-sacrificing love like Jesus, I love like Jesus when I love who Jesus loves. Unquestionably, that's the Father. Unquestionably, that's my brothers and sisters in the church. But it doesn't just stop there, for the expression of our love is extended to our neighbors. Sometimes our neighbors are like us, and sometimes our neighbors aren't like us. Haven't you found that it's easier to love somebody who's just like you than it is to somebody who's not like you? Because somebody who's not like you gets under your skin. Mothers start something that wives have to continue. And I say to you, wives, you certainly do have an uphill struggle. Learning to love somebody who's been baby their entire lives. And I think this morning, when you and I realize the love of who Jesus loves, yes, unquestionably, it is God. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we that we have the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And it comes down to this word, the brethren. I willingly would lay down my life for my family. I willingly would lay down my life for my friends. I wouldn't lay down my life for myself because, I don't want to spend my life. I mean, I like that, but that's holding back. That's a problem that we need to address a little bit later. I would lay down my life for a stranger. I'd lay down my life for a neighbor. Sometimes we lose our focus as to who matters and what matters. You know, our love is greater than just the love that we have amongst ourselves. But we love who Jesus loves, this world. It doesn't mean that we engage or celebrate in the world that's broken and has a broken display of love and affection. But we love people. We love our neighbors. Sometimes it moves us beyond our comfort zone because we're really close to keeping our love close. And it's hard to look beyond ourselves. That's when we're self-centered and we're following our own heart. When we love God, we love who He loves, His people, the church. We want to do our best to build up and encourage our body. When you stop to consider the magnitude of what the love of Christ looks like, it sure does address a whole lot of issues that sometimes run rampant in a church, wanting to build up the body rather than tear it down. And then we move on and consider that the love that we have for our neighbor, loving the world the way Jesus laid down His life. Do you know why Jesus laid down His life? It's not because the world loved Him. It's because the world didn't love Him. And He came in spite of our sin and our wickedness. And He lays down His life for us. And we see Jesus as our example, sacrifice in action. Certainly does temper and change our attitudes and our behaviors in our day-to-day life when we have the love of Jesus. It affects our interaction with traffic, at the bank, at the doctor's office, among our family members, when we're about to gather in a few moments maybe. It affects the outlook and the outcome. The way that we realize our perspective and where we fit into the scope of things, the circumstances. I love you more than I love me is what my expression of this self-sacrificing love looks like. I love you more than I love me because I love God most. Is the holy expression of the love that we see modeled and patterned in Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The expression of our self-sacrificing love isn't what we say. It's demonstrated and it's shown. The point that I've been trying to make this morning is this: Jesus leads me to love those He loves like He loves. And it certainly does give us a new perspective in our day-by-day pursuits and following Jesus, and it certainly does complicate our lives. Because when we're holding on to the reins and when we're in control, loving other people that way just doesn't match my goals for the day. But when I follow Jesus and I serve Jesus, it's easy to look at those around me, see them, aware of their needs, willing to invest my life in their lives. And it makes the sacrifice all the much more sweeter when I know that I'm doing unto the least of these, I'm doing it unto Him. Our response this morning as we close Loving like Jesus comes through sacrifice. You know, we said it a few moments ago that learning to love like Jesus, it doesn't come natural to us as people. What does come natural to us is loving ourselves. And if there's anything that we can say this morning again for our mothers, mothers, thank you for loving us and demonstrating for us a small picture of how Jesus loves this world and how Jesus has called us to love this world. Yes, in that description of the world, our family is there, our friends are there, our significant other is there, our spouses. We're part of the world. Loving strangers is encapsulated in that. But when we love like Jesus loves, we keep it in check, willing to help when we can, willing to sacrifice as we should. And the pattern that we see and how we cultivate the fruits of the Spirit in our life, it's the fruits of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of me or the fruit of you or the fruit of the church. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Day by day, our love grows the more that we yield our hearts to Jesus. Because we take that space in our heart, that piece of our heart that we've got reserved for loving ourselves, and we let it go. And the love of Jesus thrives in there. That love that we have for this world and for the base acts of this world, that's we give that up. That's what repentance looks like. Lord, if I've been doing that, I turn from what is wrong and I turn to what is right. I turn to you. I turn from the sin. I turn from my sin to my Savior. That's what repentance looks like. And it's for us as believers. We grow progressively day by day by yielding more and more of ourselves. You know, the moment that we get saved, we get all of the Holy Spirit. But the moment that we yield, He gets more and more of us. And that's the struggle, because sometimes we think, oh, I want to take it back. And I want to get in the flesh and I want to express my opinion. I want to express my anger. I want to express my attitude. I don't want to express my love the way Jesus loves. And that's where you need to do something, to surrender, to repent, to turn from that. Love grows through yielding. Love stays fresh in a warm heart. How in the world do you keep the fruit at your house? Do you keep it in your refrigerator? Do you put it there? We had bought some strawberries earlier in the week, and I had left them in a plastic bag on a counter in our house. And I came in and I said, oh no, Melina, I bought strawberries last night and I didn't put them in the refrigerator. She looked at me and she said, it's okay, it's fruit. It grew outside. I love the simplicity of that reality. Love stays fresh in a warm heart, not a cold heart. When our relationship with the Lord begins to cool, our love cools as well. Because we stop loving what Jesus loves and we start loving what we love. And the way to keep your love for this world healthy, warm, and fresh is to keep your love for the Lord healthy, warm, and fresh. That's done through yielding. Last, love is best shared. The expression of self-sacrificing love isn't something John says in his letter that you just say, but it's demonstrated. We have an opportunity today to do that, to love as Jesus loves. You want to know something? We have an opportunity tomorrow to love as Jesus loves. And if you didn't get it right today, you can get it right tomorrow. But if you get it right today and you don't get it right tomorrow, you got another opportunity on the day behind that. Loving Jesus means I let go of the things that don't matter, to take hold of the things that do matter to him, and to love who he loves, like he loves. May this be our prayer. Lord, lead me to the opportunities to love like you love. And when we pray for those opportunities, he grows them. I rejoice this morning in the fruit of the Spirit that Jesus gives us an example, that mothers give for us the example of self-sacrificing love.